Good evening. Welcome to Left, Right and Center. I'm Vishnu Shom on the program tonight. A raging debate across the country on welfare versus SOPs. Where does one draw the line on freebies? The debate comes after the Union Finance Minister Nirmala Sitharaman asked states doling out frisbees to check their fiscal strength and make proper budgetary provisions accordingly. But several opposition leaders have hit back, backing the freebies policy, claiming that it's for the welfare of the people. We'll be joined by a very special guest on this, the special advisor to the Chief Minister of West Bengal on finance issues and at this stage on pretty much all issues, Dr. Amit Mitra, in just a moment. And he'll do the math on whether freebies actually make sense or not. Later on the show, our NDTV exclusive, how China is now encircling India, not just across the Himalayas, but across the Indian Ocean as well. We'll bring you satellite images, and let's roll those images if we can. We'll bring you satellite images of the Chinese base at Djibouti in the Horn of Africa with a Chinese warship deployed. All right, well, let's quickly move on now to our top story. Dr. Amit Mitra joins us at this stage. Sir, there are lots of individuals, many in the government, who say that there's no limit to giving freebies. These are essentially announced ahead of elections. And if states are allowed to do whatever they want, then we'll have no money left. That's the essential argument. How would you respond?
I think let's first take the case of the center. I'm a little shocked by this ravery business that is going on, because it is the center which provides the largest amount of ravery, if you want to call it. I would not want to call it so. I would not want to call it freebie, because they're fundamental to economic growth of a country.
Right.
Let me give you a quick example. The total amount that one can say the center gives, which you can, if you want, you can call it freebie,
right,
is 1,25,000 crores, according to 8 programs of the center. Let me give you a physical example. Honorable Prime Minister on January 1st, 2022, suddenly announced 20,900 crores of what? PM Kisan scheme, in which PM Kisan Samman Nidhi will give 6,000 rupees direct transfer to farmers. Now, 10 crore farmers could benefit. Perfect case of freebie, if you want to call it so. I wouldn't want to call it so.
Okay.
Same, you take National Assistance Program, started in 1995. Why don't you discontinue it? Because it's a direct transfer, freebie, and it's 9,652 crores by this government.
Right.
I mean, I can go on to show you that 1.25 lakh crores is being given by the central government, which can be construed as being freebies. So my first point is absolutely misplaced. It almost looks as though the Prime Minister and his government is looking at a mirror. They
okay.
seem to see themselves in terms of freebies. I've given you the data.
So
I don't oppose it.
But how then, Dr. Mitra, have you managed to do this, for example, in West Bengal? How have you balanced finances?
Yes, I think it is very interesting that in West Bengal, I'll give you just quickly a few examples. 25,000 rupees goes straight into the account of a girl child under what is called the Kanyashri scheme. 25,000 rupees. Now, that is uploaded from the educational institution where she is, if she is above 18 years of age and not married. You know what is the budget for that? It's huge. 75 lakh girls have benefited from that. You call it a freebie. Now, what has happened is dropout rates have significantly come down. Now, you take Krishak Bandhu scheme of West Bengal. 10,000 rupees to farmers with 1 acre of land and 4,000 rupees who have less than 1 acre of land. Now, what has been the outcome of that?
Right.
It's a huge outcome for the farmers at a very critical time. You take Swasthya Sathi. Do you know that the PG hospital, known as SSKM hospital, today treats 10,000 patients a day completely free?
Right.
West Bengal's entire public health system is free. And same way, you have the Lakshmi Bandar of women getting 1,000 rupees for SCST, 500 rupees, immediately created demand during the COVID period. Keynesian-wise, it is a perfect solution to creating demand, which was lacking in the market.
But Dr. Mitra, you know, when we were talking about this, you'd mentioned a very interesting point that if you look at how freebies actually happen around the world, you know, there are interesting comparisons which can be made. So how does it work in a few select countries and how does it work over here in comparison?
Yes, I think before you answer that, let me tell you the United Nations gave the highest award in the world to West Bengal for the Kanyashri program, where Mamata Banerjee personally received it, but I was present in that day. So it's not, you know, that's an international recognition of what you may call a freebie. Let me go to United States. United States has allocated 2.2 trillion, not billion, trillion US dollars, Economic Security Act. You know what that means? Each family of two adults and two children get $3,400 a month,
right?
Complete freebie. Now, as a result, the American economy is turning around.
Okay.
You take because this money goes straight into the market as demand, creating Keynesian multiplier. Now, UK has the furlough scheme. 80% of your last salary you will get. Germany's minimum income benefit, and Australia. Nobody knew this. Probably. Australia is providing $565 in 15 days. Now, these are capitalist economies, market economies. Now, is it that the Honorable Prime Minister and his government is not aware that this is the scale at which internationally you provide stimulation targeting the poor so that they come back in the market and create Keynesian
right.
multiplier.
Right.
West Bengal is a classic case.
Right.
And do you know our fiscal deficit is way below the center, which is less than a half of the center.
Sure.
And our debt GDP ratio is only 34%, which is much lower than anybody else.
All right. So the point being that freebies have done, and you know, you may not use the word freebies, but you know, these plans done smartly do not necessarily, you know, bring down your revenues to a point where it's untenable. They can, in fact, support economic growth in the long run, bring our people into the economic fold.
Yes, let me also add that if you ask any economist, they will tell you, in the case of education, it is a what is called a market failure. Private sector does not provide basic education.
Right.
In health, it does not provide. United States does not have any private schools other than just a few.
Right. So the bottom line, you feel, Dr. Mitra, there shouldn't be any question of doing away with this. It doesn't make sense.
No, not only not doing away, it is an absurd statement to make that you provide ravery or some such thing. I don't know where that comes from, where you yourself in the center is following that process.
Right.
And so are the states, and so is United States, Germany, Japan, Australia. So only thing to do is direct digital transfer. That's what West Bengal has got the highest award from the government of India for, integrated financial management system of direct transfer in the bank account.
Okay. All right, Dr. Mitra, thanks very much for sort of joining us. This debate continues to rage across the country on whether freebies make economic sense. It really depends on who you ask. Thanks, sir, very much for being with us. A couple of comments have come in on this. Nishid writes in, says, a general concern over freebies is pushing the economy to ruin. Adarsh says, what is the positive side of freebies in India? Well, we're going to move on now to an NDTV exclusive report. Satellite images sourced by us indicate that China's naval base in Djibouti on the Horn of Africa is now fully operational and supports Chinese warships deployed in the Indian Ocean. You see the base on your screen right now. Why is this important for us? China's presence in Djibouti is part of a detailed plan to establish its presence in the Indian Ocean, directed not just, for example, at the US Navy, which has major bases in the Persian Gulf, but also at the Indian Navy, the next largest in the region. Images of the fully operational base in Djibouti come at a time when China has docked a 25,000-ton satellite and ballistic missile tracking ship in the Sri Lankan port of Hambantota. We'll talk about that as well in a moment. But first, This is the area that we are talking about, Djibouti in Africa to the west, Gwadar in Pakistan, where China is building a base, and Hambantota to the east in Sri Lanka, where China has a 99-year lease to the port. It's effectively theirs. But first, let's turn our attention to the Chinese base in Djibouti on your screen, built at a cost of $590 million and under construction since 2016. It's located by the strategic Babal Mandab Strait, which guards the approach to the Suez Canal, one of the most critical channels of international commerce. Significantly, the images from Maxar, which we've procured, show a Chinese ship, a Yuzhou-class landing ship, docked along a 320-meter-long berthing area located near an apron that supports helicopter operations. This is a large 25,000-ton vessel designed to embark up to 800 soldiers and a combination of vehicles, air cushion landing craft, and helicopters. In other words, a potential flagship of any Chinese fleet operating in the Indian Ocean. Elsewhere, there's an apron that you see over here for helicopter operations in the center of your screen. Looks like a small runway, where in this image taken less than a week back, there appear to be training activities underway on this apron or runway. A short distance away, a new building is under construction, as you can see, and the containers set up in the same facility are likely to support urban and counter-terror operations training. That's what the assessment from experts that we have spoken to seem to indicate. And in this image, you can see a wide shot of all of what we've described so far: the ship, the base, the training facilities, the new building under construction. It's a large facility in the Horn of Africa. Finally, a look at the Chinese satellite and missile observation ship, the Yuanwang 5, everyone's been talking about. That remains docked in Hambantota in Sri Lanka. We've marked its satellite and communication dishes. It's berthed next to an oil tank farm and is likely being refueled. It is being refueled at a time when Sri Lanka hardly has enough fuel to supply its own citizens. Well, joining us now are two of the finest Indian Navy officers that I've interacted with. Admiral Arun Prakash, the former Navy Chief, Vice Admiral Shekhar Sinha, the former Commander-in-Chief of the Western Naval Command. Thanks very much for being with us. Admiral Prakash, how does this represent, let's talk about Djibouti first, how does this represent a challenge, if not a threat, for Indian interests?
Vishnu, this is really, it's very good that you acquired such fine, high-resolution satellite pictures, which is more than one can say about most of our channels, which don't focus on national security issues. But this is really nothing new, because the Chinese started negotiating for Djibouti, a base in Djibouti, in 2015 or so. And I think by 2017, they had a base nearly operational. And as you perhaps know, that Djibouti is a very strategically located port at the mouth of the Red Sea, overlooking the Bab el Mandeb Strait. It already had a U.S. detachment, a Japanese detachment, and a French detachment there. So the Chinese have now established a foothold there. It's an important place to be, and you can understand the Chinese desire to be there, because much of their trade, a huge proportion of their trade and energy transits through either the Red Sea or the Persian Gulf. So it is not a surprise for many people that this base has come up the way it has. It should be an area of concern, and I'm sure the Indian Navy is keeping a close watch on all the developments, the ins and outs that goes on in Djibouti.
Admiral Sinha, Gwadar in Pakistan, Djibouti in Africa, and Hambantota in Sri Lanka. Hambantota, the Chinese, it's effectively theirs. They have a 99-year lease. What does this mean for India?
Well, Vishnu, thank you for getting me on this program. You know, this only completes the string of pearls, and there would be probably some more bases which come up on the east coast of Africa. There's a lot of talk that the Chinese are negotiating to get a base. My own sense is that there will be a frequent movement of Chinese warships in this area, and their collusion with Pakistan Navy, who they are giving 8 submarines and 3/4 frigates or destroyers, the maneuvering space of the Indian Navy is certainly going to shrink. the freedom with which the ships and submarines used to move around in Arabian Sea, that's not going to happen. Or if it happens, it has to be done with a lot of caution. So that is my first reaction. And since you have shown a very sort of high resolution, you know, pictures, I would also say that, you know, days are not very far, maybe 6, 7, 8 years, that the Chinese Navy would probably have a Indian Ocean Fleet somewhere in one of these bases. Most likely, you know, my sense is either on the east coast of Africa or in Gwadar. Because Djibouti, while the base is quite big, you know, the seeing the size of the jetty and the manner in which it is there, it looks like it's more of a offloading base. You see the ramp just behind the LST, the landing ship.
Yeah.
Probably it is being used for, you know, offloading the tanks and
let's have that image of the ship up. Refer to what Admiral Sinha is talking about. Let's have the image. Let's change the image to get the image of the ship up, so that we just show it once full frame to our the next image, the image of the warship. Yeah, not this. The other one. I'll just have that up in a moment. No. This is in Hambantota. Let's try and have the one of the warship in Djibouti. Anyway, we'll get that up in a moment from now. But Admiral, yeah, this is the image. Now you had a couple of points. Go ahead, Admiral Sinha.
Yeah, you see the white portion that these two are ramps, Vishnu, and it is leading into the well of the ship. Through which the vehicles and possibly the towed artillery guns which can be taken out or taken in. There are also reports that the artillery guns have been positioned in a manner which you can't make out right now. You will have to do little more analysis of the images that you have sent. The ranges of which are right, as Admiral Arun Prakash mentioned, that, you know, it is overlooking the Red Sea and Suez Canal. The long range guns can actually reach quite far into the Red Sea. We yet have to find out as to what are the ranges of these guns and which artillery guns they have positioned. I wouldn't be surprised if it is very close to the choke point inside the Red Sea. So I think that this is all in all, it is a preparation for a Indian Ocean Fleet for the Chinese once their carrier force becomes fully operational and there are more ships which can be deployed outside South China Sea. I think the Indian Ocean possibly is going to be their second base.
Okay. Admiral Prakash, what stops the Chinese from operating a carrier battle group, an aircraft carrier battle group in the Indian Ocean?
Nothing really, but except for the fact that they really have only two proper aircraft carriers at the moment. Not really, not even two. One is still working up, one is fully operational, and one I think has been relegated to training rule. At this particular point, their attention is focused on Taiwan. It's only when Taiwan is wrapped up one way or the other and they have produced another carrier so that they can spare one for the Indian Ocean that we are likely to see a carrier task force entering the Indian Ocean. But until their surface force can be accompanied by an aircraft carrier, it is unlikely that they will have a Indian Ocean squadron or a force in being floating around, because the air threat that we can pose, the Indian forces can pose to a Chinese surface force is quite formidable. So I would say two factors. One is wrapping up of Taiwan one way or the other. And the second is for them to be able to spare an operational aircraft carrier which can leave the South China Sea and come into the Indian Ocean. Once that happens, maybe around the 2030s or so, we will certainly see PLA Navy carrier task force in our neighborhood.
Admiral Sinha, one final question to you. You know, we've been focusing for years now on what the Chinese are doing on our northern frontiers. Isn't it time that as a nation we start looking at what they're doing in the Indian Ocean? It's not a new story.
Vishnu, I think there has been a fair amount of attention in at least in the last 5, 6, 7 years. And you find that more and more maritime security issues are being discussed and they're coming up. For example, the Colombo Security Conclave, the BIMSTEC sort of HADR cooperative mechanism. So these are some of the areas which reflect that, yes, the government of India and the Indian Navy is now paying more attention to the Indian Ocean. And I think that it is very much high time to start looking at, because, you know, the maritime threats are absolutely, you know, they are there. Because once they emerge, it'll be very difficult to, you know, take any counter action or countermeasure. And therefore, the countermeasures have to be prepared well in time, because the, you know, it takes a long time to create the infrastructure of the Navy and the force levels. So I think that the government has, to my mind, government has started paying attention to the oceans, but the budgeting has to be little more than what it is right now.
I would suggest that's an understatement, little more. I would suggest a lot more. But thank you, Admiral Sinha, Admiral Prakash, always a pleasure to speak to you. These new images actually represent just the tip of the iceberg. If you look at the pace of Chinese naval expansion, their ability to manufacture warships and deploy them in a speedy process, as part of a speedy process, then it could be a cause of trouble for India.